This is VOA News. I'm David Byrd. U.S. President Donald Trump signed legislation Friday releasing $8.3 billion in emergency spending to combat the outbreak of the coronavirus. As AP's Mike Hempen reports, the funding comes as U.S. officials said there were 245 confirmed cases and 14 deaths in the United States so far.
I asked for 2.5, and I got 8.3, and I'll take it.
The measure would provide money to federal public health agencies for vaccines, tests, and potential treatments. It also would help state and local governments respond to the virus. The Senate passed the legislation on a 96-1 vote after the House had passed it on a 415-2 vote. The plan would more than triple the $2.5 billion outlined by the White House a week and a half ago. The bipartisan leadership of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees negotiated the increased amount. Mike Hemp in Washington.
The number of confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide has surpassed 100,000, and the head of the World Health Organization is urging all nations to make containment their highest priority. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said the WHO's focus is on helping countries with weaker health systems.
The most concerning is out of the 88 countries, we're seeing more countries affected from the low income with weaker health systems. And that's the most concerning.
Tedros added that the WHO had developed a set of core protocols to guide governments and other actors as they conduct research and gather data on COVID-19, the illness caused by the coronavirus. The WHO head said his organization's roadmap focuses on research that can save lives now and help to develop vaccines and therapeutics for the future. This is VOA News. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for an attack in Kabul on Friday that killed at least 32 people. As Reuters' Sarah Charlton reports, it's the first major attack on the Afghan capital since the United States reached an agreement with the Taliban to withdraw U.S. troops.
Gunshots were broadcast live on local TV Friday as the gathering to mark the death of an ethnic leader turned to chaos. More than 50 people were injured in the largest attack on civilians in a year. Top Afghan political leader Abdullah Abdullah was at the event but escaped unharmed. The Taliban said they were not involved in the attack. But it's another deadly reminder of Afghanistan's fragile state. Several people were killed in a similar attack on the same commemoration last year, which Islamic State said it carried out. The United States has tried to spearhead efforts towards a lasting peace agreement in Afghanistan. Violence decreased before a deal was implemented last Saturday to withdraw troops, though the Taliban has since resumed attacks on Afghan forces.
That's Sarah Charlton of Reuters. Two suicide bombers blew themselves up near the U.S. Embassy in Tunis on Friday, killing one police officer and wounding four others. The Interior Ministry said that one of the five officers injured in the blast had died after surgery. A civilian was also slightly injured. The spokesman insisted the dead attackers were targeting the officers on patrol and not the U.S. Embassy. The U.S. State Department said it was outraged by the attack and saddened by the loss of life. The State Department said it is working with local authorities on the investigation. Syria's war-battered Idlib region was quiet but tense Friday as a ceasefire deal between Moscow and Ankara took effect in Syria. But as Reuters' Soria Ali reports, the truce was looking fragile.
At least 15 people were killed in fighting between government forces and jihadist insurgents, the Syrian Observatory War Monitor said. Idlib has been the center of a tug of war in recent weeks, with Moscow and Ankara, which back opposing sides in the war, edging closer to direct confrontation. Shaky ceasefires that bring relative calm have punctuated Syria's nine-year war, but all have collapsed. For this deal, Russia and Turkey have agreed to set up a security corridor along Idlib's main highway and to conduct joint patrols. But many say this isn't enough. It didn't establish a safe zone or say how nearly a million people displaced in the last 3 months could return to their homes.
That's Soraya Ali of Reuters. Stock markets are trading lower again Friday despite a positive jobs report. All three major indices are in negative territory. I'm David Byrd.